It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's a really good idea to be really active on Twitter. That is a one-way ticket to riches. There's no downside.
It's Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth and 10, shotgun snap. Broncos setting a blitz. A throw by Newton to the right. Incomplete with Harry, who was open at the 10-yard line. The ball sailed to the outside as Harry turned to the inside. And the Broncos are going to come away with their second straight win and their first victory here at Gillette since 2006.
Now, obviously, respectfully, that was 2 weeks ago. Still bitter over the game and just trying to focus on ways to just get better. You know, obviously, everybody knows what the situation was, and, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, I just know for me here moving forward, I just got to play better football, and that's what my job is to do.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Ted Johnson going to join us in just a moment. But first, let's take Vic first. Vic, go ahead.
I think that's going to be the last we heard of McCourty speaking out publicly. I think Bill's going to nip that in the butt. And I think Joe Murray said it exactly last week. Cam Newton style showed, or the boring style showed this week.
Yeah, they were boring. There's no question.
Hey, you think it's the last time they're going to hear from Cam Newton?
No.
He's like one of the team leaders.
No, he said McCourty.
McCourty in his talk
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean McCourty? No, I mean, that's what I meant. He's one of the team leaders.
He means the talk about unity and, you know, the league's against us and this and that kind of stuff.
So you think that Bill's going to say, hey, all that stuff that you were saying, that you were talking about protecting your family and the players, don't say that anymore? You think that's a real conversation?
That was my take, is I think Bill Belichick's going to come in to the team and be like, listen,
stop complaining about your family's health. Is that what
I've read? So many articles from people lately that say Bill Belichick doesn't care about, he only cares about winning and all that. And I think that's completely wrong. I think he used to be that way, and he's not that guy anymore. I think I've seen 15 tweets today saying, "Bring the hoodie back," you know, "Bring it all back." To me, I think that
is that a bad thing in your opinion?
No, I just think COVID's in everyone's head right now on that team. COVID's in everyone's head, and I listen. It's real life, right? Guys opted out. They had the most opt-outs on that team.
I don't think that not playing last week benefited them health-wise, that it was any more dangerous to play last week than it was this week. I mean, they had a bunch of COVID cases this week. And depending on what you believe, and I don't care if these guys go out or not, I mean, guys were out.
Oh, they were out.
They were out and about.
Oh, yes.
So
one of them may be on the list.
So I mean,
was out and about.
Yeah, I mean,
you see, I don't know if that was real. That because we don't know when that.
I don't care.
Was taken.
I don't care if he did it. There's a picture of Sony Michelle out at I guess
a strip
they're
club.
Saying is a strip club.
Yeah, but
which
once
I don't
again,
care if he went to a strip club or not.
We don't know when that picture was taken. We don't know who took that.
I don't know, but right, I don't think they were any more danger playing two Sundays ago than they were yesterday. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I just want to clarify to see if you actually think that the way McVrabel handled the coronavirus issue with his team is the difference between the Tennessee Titans winning and the Patriots losing.
That was Rich's
silly
point.
No, I said that the one thing that Vrabel did that I thought was effective is he turned it into an us against the world type of mentality. And I liked that. I liked that he did that. He gave him a little bit of edge, a little bit of attitude. Now, I rolled my eyes when I heard Ryan Tannehill talking that way because in the end, they were the ones who violated COVID protocol. So they weren't the victims in any way, shape, or form. But he did, Vrabel did put that bug in their ear, and it put a fire under their ass.
And Rich now, is right in that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but Rich is right in that as well. Their thing was, okay, it might be us against the league, but it's us against the league in terms of, you know, screw the league, they're going to punish us, and the Patriots were screw the league, we're not going to play.
And by the way, the Patriots have done that a million times.
Yes.
I mean, you know, they played us against the world, and it's worked. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Patriots have done it a million times, but, I mean, you can't deny Rich is right in that, and I don't... Listen, Tennessee beat a very good team, and the Patriots lost to a very bad team. And Tennessee's attitude was, screw the league, we're going to go out and kick ass. And the Patriots' attitude was, screw the league, we don't want to play. I mean, that was the two attitudes.
Tennessee also has Derrick Henry, so that's maybe a little bit of a...
Yes, Tennessee, Tennessee beat the Patriots at home in the playoffs, so
I mean, Derrick Henry is
or
like
on the road in the playoffs.
Otherworldly.
One of my takes earlier this year, which again, I'm just throwing takes everywhere, I felt like a lot of people opted out because maybe Brady moved on and the team may not be as competitive. Well, the Titans are very competitive. The Patriots right now were, and now they look like a fringe playoff team.
Yes. They are a fringe playoff team. Get used to it, too, because this is the way it's going to be for a while. I'm very impressed with the defense. And by the way, let's all stop giving I think we can all, at least for now, stop giving Josh McDaniels the new genius hat again. Because
I agree.
That was no good. Ted Johnson. You know Ted Johnson. He's all over NBC Sports Boston. You know him for his Super Bowl winning ways. Ted Johnson, let's say you're on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, even though you're zooming the day away. Ted Johnson, all right, let's get your... Okay, first of all, we haven't talked to you in forever. What was your take on the way the Patriots have handled the last 2 weeks? You know, there was talk that there was going to be a player uprising if they had to play Denver two Sundays ago. What is your feeling on how that went down?
Hey, before we get started with that, Freddie, how about just you and me? Like, we're just you and me in the fence post here talking. How you doing, man? Are you doing good? You doing
anything good? I'm doing good. I've been doing well. Thank you, and I appreciate your support when I was going into the rehab and everything. I appreciate everything.
I'm glad. Of course, it was my pleasure. But I'm glad to hear you're doing well. But yeah, you know, what happened? You know, 2 weeks ago, obviously the Patriots having to fly to Kansas City. You could just tell in the tone of Bill's voice after that trip that he didn't like the position he was put in by either the NFL or the powers that be. And so you could tell that kind of attitude and disposition permeated throughout at least the upper echelons of his leadership on that team. And they are kind of feeling the same way. And so you can kind of just see where Bill's stance has been on how things have been handled. And, you know, even though it was Cam Newton that tested positive and Stephon Gilmore, my feeling is he's not happy with the decisions the NFL made, you know, soon after those positive tests and what, you know, he feels like he was made to do and maybe on some unfair circumstances. So it's interesting, guys. I mean, this team's at a very, very pivotal point of the season. This is kind of what I predicted happening maybe earlier in the season. I thought they'd hit more adversity earlier than they did. I know they only started off 2-2, but you understand my point. Everything I think was going along pretty good until this game yesterday. And now the resolve and the commitment is going to be tested. And so we will see truly what this team is made of, how they respond after what, let's face it, that was an embarrassing loss yesterday. And you can say, hey, 2 weeks to prepare for this game, only three practices. It's difficult to give them excuses when you've seen other teams do more with less time as well. And don't forget, Bill Belichick, earlier this week, he had the green light to practice on Wednesday. The NFL, all the tests that came back and all the positive tests they had, the NFL deemed the Patriots okay to practice on Wednesday. He chose not to. So when he talks about not having enough practice time, don't forget, Wednesday he could have practiced and chose not to.
Yeah, that leads me – I'm sorry, Rich. That leads me to kind of what I was addressing before in that we and the people that cover the team, like the writers, the real people that cover the team, not the fart choke guys like us, were
boots on the ground, guys.
Yeah, we're saying, and you know that you know Bill has evolved, and he listened to his players, and you had guys like the McCourty twins and James White that were saying that they didn't want to play Denver. You know what ended up the game that got postponed till yesterday, that they didn't want to play. That there was going to be a quote unquote uprising if they a revolt. If they were having to play that game, and it appears Bill, you know, listened to him and acquiesced to that after watching the game yesterday and knowing Bill the way you do, is that going to change? What's his message to the team going to be?
Okay, Freddie, let's think to yourselves, you know, Bill acquiescing for the players, you know, with all due respect, Bill's going to do what's best for Bill.
Okay.
So if the players, you know, have a sentiment that they don't want to play, it's because Bill Belichick is okay with them having it because he probably feels the same way. So trust me, it's not like Jason McCourty and Devin McCourty have all this power that they can go in there and they're going to put, you know, Rudy's jersey down on his desk, you know, one by one. And Bill's going to go, okay, yeah, we'll do what you guys want. Right. So it's just not how Bill operates. So don't kid yourself. It was to his advantage not to play that game in Denver or against Denver a week ago because he was going to not have a starting quarterback or a starting cornerback. So you know, Bill, you know, there's a lot of narrative all week about Bill being this great guy. You know what? And maybe he is handling this specific incident, but don't kid yourself. It also parallels with an agenda too that you know is clear to me, knowing the man like I do. So you know, let's not kid yourself. If player safety works out to fit his agenda, then he's going to do it that way.
Okay, to that point, okay. Ted, hang on. I want to follow up on that because, Ted, you yesterday on NBC Sports Boston said something that I thought was really interesting because you have this unique perspective with how Bill Belichick manages people's health and safety. Because obviously he – from the stories you tell and how he handled your situations – he's kind of become a different person. Like, you, is this like obviously, you know, with you know, back in 2002, you know, you had a concussion, and then he put you back in the game, right? When you weren't cleared to come back, is that what happened? And you're saying you don't recognize this Bill Belichick now, correct?
Well, I think no. I've seen him rehab his image since those days, right? I don't think he's, you know, he's still a killer at heart. Don't kid yourself. I mean, this guy will do anything, you know, for the most part to get what he wants. But I think he has mellowed out. And I always kind of point back to a certain event and time for a couple of years ago, Rich, where I think Bill was embarrassed. You know, he'll never admit it. But I think what he did to Malcolm Butler on the Super Bowl, I think was really kind of his hubris being exposed into the world where on a national stage where you could not run or hide from that decision, how bad that looked, and kind of showed you at that time what he's capable of doing. And that's really, that's Bill Belichick, the person. And I always have to feel like I got to qualify when I talk about this stuff is Bill Belichick, the coach. I have a totally different analysis about Bill Belichick, the person, the character. And so, and my opinions are always about that, are always through the prism of my own personal experience with Bill. So that's why I might be critical because I had a different, maybe unique experience than maybe other guys. So that's where that comes. But after that benching of Malcolm Butler, I feel like Bill's kind of tried to, you know, I need to get guys to want to come here. I got to make this look like a place that free agents will want to come, that we have fun. Cam Newton comes in. Bill's all about fun. Bill's all about interpersonal relationships now. Bill's all about guys staying late and let's hang out and let's all get to know each other. Woo, you know, because I think Bill realized, you know, his kind of legacy and his, you know, his reputation wasn't, when it comes to player relationships, wasn't the best. And so he needed to rehab that. And so I feel ever since that Super Bowl 3 years ago, he's been trying to do that little by little.
All right, Ted Johnson going to stay with us. You've got any calls, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
You know, we've learned this year that there are going to be situations like that.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Julian Edelman says, Rich, sometimes you're hot and sometimes you're not. And this year, he has been lukewarm. The numbers don't lie, nor did the eyes. Edelman had a huge game against the Seahawks, but the other three games have been pedestrian. And the Patriots are managing him as they go forward here because of a troublesome knee that has bothered him dating back to last year. His snap count down 20%, but his drops second highest in the league, and he's only played in the four games. Edelman said, look, I make mistakes sometimes. I owe my team after the way I performed against Kansas City. Hopefully the 2 weeks, essentially, that the Patriots have had off have allowed that knee to feel a little bit better.
95, The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Teddy J, Ted Johnson on the line with us. Joe Murray, you had some interesting data that leads to a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the Edelman stuff, I'm sure it'll be interesting to get to in a minute here. But, Ted, you know I like to go way back with you here, but defense yesterday, zero touchdowns. And the last time they have been 2-3 to start a season was 2002. You were a part of that team. The other thing is they've scored 18 points or less in back-to-back games. Last time the Patriots have done that was 1999, Pete Carroll's last year. You were on both of those teams. Your thoughts on the way the offense has played, and how is it as a defender when your team can't score and you're giving up zero touchdowns out there?
Yeah, Joe, 1999 sucked. I mean, it's not 2020 sucked, but it was pretty bad there, Pete's last year. I feel like we were 2-3 the last time in 2001. The year we went to the Super Bowl and beat the Rams, because we start off the season 0-2, and then we won a game and we lost a game, and then we ended up being 2-3. But regardless, it was a long time ago since the last time we were 2-3. To your larger point, you know what? There's got to be a little bit of frustration from the defense, particularly the Kansas City game, because the defense played good enough against that Kansas City offense to win that game and to still win against Kansas City when no one expected you to. So, you know what? That's just the way it is, man. I just remember Rack, my LD coordinator, Joe, always kind of saying, look, man, we're not going to sit around here and feel sorry for ourselves just because our offense can't get it going. We got a job to do, blah, blah, blah. Now, Rob Ryan, the brother of Rex Ryan, he'd be a little different. Now, Rex would be like, hell, it's everyone's fault except for the linebackers. He coached linebackers, so we can never do anything wrong. So I love playing for Robbo because we never did anything wrong. But that's kind of the mentality. I don't think it's gotten to that point yet, like, you know, where there's, you know, all those teams that used to be like the Denver Broncos back in the day who had a great defense and a terrible offense. Like, Carolina was like that for a while, where just year after year you have a dominant defense and a crappy offense. Let's face it, it's not there yet. Although I was shocked to see how bad the offense did play, because I just thought there was – some momentum going there after the Vegas game, going into the Kansas City game before Cam got COVID. I just thought the offense, you know, had they all put it together in one game? Not yet, but you just saw potential in the passing game in the second half of the Seahawks game. You saw what the quarterback running design run play game could be in that first game, you know, against the Dolphins. You saw what the traditional running game could be in that third game. And you thought, okay, if they just put it together, they got something. Well, man, that passing game took a huge step back yesterday. I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah.
And it was shocking to see on third down, it was like they got to come up with gimmick plays. I mean, they're doing like sprint option on third and two. And so it's the passing game's in big trouble, boys.
Yeah, it's funny because the running game, it was disastrous, but I'm just going to credit the offensive line with being a bunch of dudes that nobody even knew. Just, I mean, guys playing wrong positions. I'm going to write that one off. That will get better. I have I'm going to kind of give them a little bit of a pass. The passing game, as you said, is concerning. It's not even that it's bad. You're now at a point with Edelman, as you heard Mike Giardi say right there, he's dealing with that knee problem, and you don't know how effective he's going to be this whole season. And then N'Keal Harry, I mean, every week he just gives us more and more evidence that he is not worth a first round pick. It's getting tougher to defend this guy. So what did they do, Ted, when you've got your two, I guess, guys you're supposed to be leaning on, and neither of them can be effective?
It's really alarming. Just the non-factor that Julian Edelman is. I mean, let's face it, we're so used to, for years, him and Gronk being the focal point of the offense. And with Gronk going, you're like, you know, and even in that first game against Miami, you're like, okay, there's Julian, you know, he's doing his thing, picking up third downs, making big plays over the middle. The last two games, it is like he's made no impact in these games, none. And you would think this offense, particularly the passing game, they're going to come out and chuck it, you know, like they did yesterday. You would think he'd be the focal point. It's the backs. I mean, it was Ryan Izzo was the focal point. Are you kidding me? So it's something's going on. You know what? Look, everybody talks about his knee. If it's his knee, I mean, God bless him for being out there, because that's the only thing I can hope. I hope it is, because it looks like he is just kind of not really, you know, engaged. And that's an incriminating thing. I hate even suggesting that he's not fully engaged, but sometimes you just look, hey, he's not engaged in these games. And that's gotta be concerning, because he is the passing game. And when he's not going, you see what happens to that offense.
Oh, you're saying he's got a Tom hangover.
Maybe, Freddie. I mean, you see Tom's so tan down there. He's having fun. Him and Gronk are doing, you know,
You know, yesterday had to kill him. Yeah. You know, yesterday was Tampa Bay a later game. Was that the 4 o'clock game?
Yeah, it was 4 o'clock game. They looked awesome.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, Edelman got off the field and he's like, well, at least Tampa sucks, you know, and then he turns on the TV and it's
he touches the TV like, oh,
and it's the Gronk and Tom show again, and he's Gronk's jersey's all dirty, and he's like, ooh.
Hey, Julian's okay. He's like, okay, I can handle a loss here and there. As long as Tampa Bay loses to, I'm okay. You know, Tampa Bay lit it up on Green Bay. So, yeah, you know what? I mean, I anticipated, I don't know, kind of like them hitting, you know, kind of hitting a road bump, and then kind of they're being a heat check. There's a heat check with Julian right now. Definite heat check about where he wants to go moving forward, if he's going to be fully engaged, what his health is, what his future is here, how much buy-in factor. Because this is real adversity they're hitting now after this loss to a team they had no business losing to.
All right, what about Cam? Because, you know, he wasn't throwing it downfield yesterday. You know, watching him play, how much of it, I mean, do you think that his arm still might be bothering him, or do you believe that this is just a guy who came back from not practicing for a while? Who knows if COVID had any effect on him? How much of it do you believe is just him being lethargic, or possibly him just being potentially injured?
You know, God, I wish you jabronis were doing radio when I was playing. Like, if I was playing bad, hey, Ted's injured. Ted's got to be hurt. Awesome. Hey, that'd be great.
I would have been like that, Ted. I would always been on your side.
Yeah, I know, Freddie. You know, Ted's hurt. Come on, give Ted a break.
At the end of the day, who cares?
His knee's bad. You know, but yeah, I don't think it's health, Rich. I think, look, it was anybody who I can't imagine. I'd love to know what these guys are doing at home during these. Like, do they run? Do they work out? Do they, are they doing, like, you know, workout sit-ups and push-ups, you know, like Herschel Walker did back in the day? Like, what are they doing to keep themselves physically, you know, where they need to be? Because it looked like he was just out of sorts. Now, if you're not going to have a lot of practice time, you're going to do a lot of virtual meetings, you're going to miss a lot in the passing game because there's so much timing and precision. And if you're not out there working on a passing game, that's going to be the bigger thing that's going to be exposed than maybe the running game. And I'll tell you this, man, Denver might have kind of cracked the code. You know how the Patriots a couple weeks ago cracked the code on defense on how to stop the Chiefs? I think maybe the Broncos, they must have blitzed. I'm not kidding you. My guess is nobody blitzed more on a defense in the NFL yesterday than the Broncos did against the Patriots. It was to stop that running game, but you saw all that pressure really affect Cam too. And so, you know, that might be the way to get him to slow down is slow down that running attack by really just blitzing him. And you can see it had, I think it had an effect on him in the passing game as well.
I just think if you're a defensive coordinator and you see those nobodies blocking for Cam Newton, you're like, yeah, we're going to blitz all the time. Like, I didn't see my too tough of a code to crack yesterday. I guess that's what I'm saying.
It's more he has no one to throw to, because how weird is it to see someone, I mean, they just replayed the last game, play of the game, and they just sold out. I mean, Denver just sold out. I mean,
yeah, trying to beat us throwing.
Because we have faith that you can't beat our guys one-on-one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll just sell out, and Cam's got to dump the ball. And, I mean, you never saw that. Or Brady hanging on to the ball. I mean, if you blitz Brady like that, oh, my goodness, it's Brady, over.
Can you imagine? They dialed up. It's 4th and 10. Game's on the line. What does the defense call a safe coverage? No, Vic Fangio dials up a cover zero blitz.
Yep.
And you know what? I mean, are you kidding me? Like, Bill had to be like, oh, please call the zero blitz. Please call it. It was the perfect defense they called for what you want to do, and you just couldn't execute, man. So, you know, the execution was really bad in the passing game yesterday. Most teams don't have the balls to blitz in that situation. The Broncos did, and it clearly paid off, so. Man, I'd be worried if I'm that passing game, man. There's a lot of concerns there.
Yeah, you got that right. I got balls. Yeah, that's
a lot of concerns.
Fangio's got balls, big ones.
Hey, he tried to choke it away though. I mean, he's got Drew Rell Locke throwing deep, you know. And
what do you say, Muscle Boy? Yeah, you got balls. I choke you away.
All right. Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to you guys this morning. Have you any conspiracy theories on Shaq Mason while he was on with COVID?
Ooh. So does he have COVID, Ted? Or is he just a guy on the list?
I know, but that's weird to me. Like, because if Shaq Mason is active, then the entire offensive line is kind of like settles into what a formula that's been working. When Shaq Mason was inactive because he was on the COVID inactive list, and then all the shuffling came around because of that. That's it impacted us. So I'm just curious, like, Shaq Mason doesn't have COVID, yet he's on the COVID-19 list. So
Isn't it because he was in contact with someone with COVID? Isn't that kind of the way they're doing it now?
Yeah, that's how they're doing it now, but that just started this week. And I just curious how do they identify which guys had quote-unquote high contact versus the other guys? So I just think that's – you're getting into some weird – crazy wonky stuff whenever you're sitting guys, even though they're perfectly healthy, just because they were in close contact to people with COVID. So that's just a slippery slope. I'm just curious if you guys have talked about that yet.
Well, I'm gonna ask you this. Why didn't they practice last Wednesday, in your opinion?
Why didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I think Bill likes to drive home a point, you know? And the point he was really trying to drive home last week was what? I care about my players, and the NFL is not going to take care of them, so I will. So we're not going to practice. Na-na-na-na, you know?
Well, then bitch about it after the game. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's kind of what
wasn't that also supposed to be their bye week? I mean, there's that part of it, too. And also, there's a benefit to not getting these guys sick, and that would be them not being able to play if you get them together when there's an infection there.
Well,
so, I mean, it benefits Bill to keep these guys healthy. So, I mean, this whole thing, get them in there, even though there was, you know, an infection at the facility.
They've been off a week and a half.
Strategy.
They'd been off.
Yeah.
I mean, the facility had been shut down.
But they've been
you're complaining about not having enough practice time, and you could have had practice time.
Yeah, I'm not the one complaining. I'm not the one that complained. Bill's the one who complained. What I'm saying is
that was supposed to be a bye week as well.
It doesn't matter. They could have practiced on Wednesday. They had plenty of time off. They had way more time off than you would normally get for a bye week. I mean, way more time out.
The timing of the infections is I'm lost because they got sprinkled throughout the week.
I
remember at the time it not seeming strange that they had done that.
Well, they
so I have to remember which day they announced infections.
Well, they could have practiced on Wednesday, and after the game, he bitched about a lack of practice. Yeah. So it's not. I'm not coming off with some unhinged anti-mask thing. I'm saying that Bill bitched after the game about not having the guys together and not enough practice as if it was someone else's fault, and you could have had a week of practice, and he didn't do it. They took the bye week days off, yes.
Hey, Ted, do they bury the ball now?
Bury the ball, Joe!
What? No, Rich brought that up, but do they bury the ball? Or is it like, all right, are we in, you know, it's now football going forward?
What happens here? This is
one of my favorite,
right?
Bury the ball. Like, what a great coaching job by Bill. After we started the season 0-2 in 2001, we went out and buried the game ball. Like, I mean, that you talk about galvanizing, man. We want to win the whole damn thing. So I think they need to bury the ball.
Yeah, bury the ball there, baby, and sneak into the playoffs. And then lose in the first round. All right, Ted Johnson.
Something drastic like that, man. They might do something drastic like burying the football to get this team to figure it out and turn it around.
I wonder if the McCourty twins will show up. All right, thank you, Ted Johnson. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much. All right, here are the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, it's funny, you mentioned that you hated the song Wonderwall.
Yeah.
So I went home on Friday, and before my nap, I watched the video for Wonderwall, and I got the feeling. I got the, because I never really listened to Oasis that much. I got that feeling that
the douchebag juice.
No,
you're thinking
sweet...
the guy in the bar with the acoustic guitar.
No,
you
I
want
hate
to
that.
Leave whatever bar you're at playing Wonderwall. Is that what it was?
No, I still contend that you. I always just will leave a bar if they have a guy playing acoustic guitar, especially on Sundays. When the old days, when I could actually sit at a table and not feel guilty about watching a football game, but the Yeah, if you're at a bar where they start playing acoustic guitar, you're out. Yeah, I mean, you got to leave. You got to send a message to the bar.
Especially, Fred, when they're playing and there's a game on. Like, if there's an important game and they have turned down the sound of the game so a guy in the corner can play Wonderwall, that really pisses you off. Then it's like that's like three strikes you're out worthy. You don't go back to that bar.
I got the nostalgic feeling though. It recalled a time when you could be a young band with guitars, and then I started listening to Definitely Maybe. I
love Oasis. I just can't stand that song.
I started listening. Love that band. I went through a big Oasis thing, and then I wished I had a record table, and then I realized I'd never be able to have it. But
Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds is really good too, which is his spinoff thing. And they hate each other. Like, they're actually pretty good Twitter followers because they just rip on each other. The two brothers, they absolutely loathe each other.
I don't know why they can't work it out. Just work it out and make $5 trillion. You could play stadiums.
Axl and Slash did it. Axl and Slash did it eventually. So,
and they didn't bring back popcorn, which was the big problem. But Rich, you know, we're out there, we're making talent. You got at Joey Murr, MURR. You got at the Toucher and Rich, at Toucher and Rich on Twitter and Instagram. And by the way, Rich, a while ago, I was interviewed by Matt Taibbi, who's a rabble rouser. He writes for Rolling Stone and stuff, but he had emailed me and I cleared it with management like 2 years ago. I remember I talked to him on Matt Taibbi on the phone driving back from work, and he was writing a book about like political discourse and about the cover of the book has Rachel Maddow and like Hannity on the cover of the book. And the book is called, I will tell you in one moment, because the book is called Hate Incorporated, Why Today's Media Makes Us Despise One Another. And Howie Sylvester texted me yesterday and he goes, I'm reading the Matt Taibbi book. There's a chapter on you. It's on the show, but on you. And it's great. And I went, wait a second, he wrote the book? And so I'm like, wait, he wrote this book? And so I bought the book on Kindle, and it's about how obviously the way that politics is, how you're presenting politics now is a la carte, and there's no nuance or gray area. It's just, you know, this person's for us and this person's against us, which in the world of news doesn't benefit anyone. I mean, there is nuance in argument. It is good to listen to someone with an opposing view. While you may not agree, you could certainly maybe see why someone feels a certain way, and you may end up hating them, as I often do. But nonetheless, you've heard that out, and unfortunately, that's not the thing. But
so, what did he talk to you about?
Okay, like, the reason he reached out specifically to me is, well, he's a huge fan of the show. That is a fact. A huge fan. And I had done that call with the Chicago radio station, remember? And then we played it. And remember, the guys were like, the Patriots were playing in the Super Bowl in Atlanta. And they were like, you know, who's going to win? And I'm like, I don't care. And they were like, what the hell? You don't care?
Yeah, I do remember that. They're like, huh, what do you mean you don't care?
And I'm like, I don't care. And I'm like, I'd like to go. And I said, I'd like to go to Atlanta because I had worked there, and they're like, oh yeah, and they like started like railing on me and stuff, and I'm like, wait, you guys care about like you cover this team for how long, and like you're living and dying by this? I'm like,
but they railed on you after you hung up.
Yes,
that right? Like, I mean, they didn't really. It was like they were fine with you when you were on the air, but then as soon as you hung up, they started going off on you. Yeah, I totally remember that now.
Yeah. And so you're in the book. They mention you, and they mention the show, and he's very kind, and so that's in that book. So thank you to Howie Sylvester for letting me know that happened, but. Rich, I saw Dick Donahue, our friend Dick Donahue, and his brother, who's gone full-on cop. His brother just looks like a guy from NYPD Blue now. Not NYPD Blue, Hill Street Blues.
Sipowitz?
He looks like Sipowitz now. His brother has gone full Sipowitz. His brother is still a cop. And Dick Donahue, obviously, is the guy who fighting
in the shootout. The Watertown shootout.
With the guys, the bombers. And... Yep. And so, and Dick's great now, and he's a good friend. He's a very funny guy. And so, and his brother's great too, but his brother has turned into Sipowicz. And they did this one chip challenge, which is this Packy is the company, I believe.
Oh, it's the super hot chip that costs like $40 to get, and it rips your head off. Like, yeah. this is not fun.
So I did it on Instagram live, and
now why? What made you want to do this?
Dick Donahue.
Just seeing him do it.
Yeah.
Okay. All
so because
right.
I like hot food.
There's no like angle to it. It was just I want to see how bad this is.
Yes. And
okay.
So,
cool.
And because you know I like hot food. I did. I went used to go to East Hart Sandford for Hell Night. I love hot spicy food. And so and I said if I'm going to do it, I'll do it on Instagram. I didn't announce I was going to do it or anything. But Jesus, who knows what's going to happen in our careers? I'd like people to follow me at Fred Dutcher. So. I did it, and it's no big deal. But I will say this. It tears the ass out of you later in the day. It does.
Yeah.
Because what sucks about it is that it's not the pepper, the California Reaper pepper. It's that it's the synthesis of the heat, like the what do you call it? Like the syrup they make out of the heat. I'm not using the right term.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Extract.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the extract that's just heat. It's not the pepper. It's just the heat of the pepper. So it's just garbage. It tastes like crap. Because I suppose if you ate... I've had, like, minced Carolina Reaper, and at least it has, like, a flavor to it. It's hot as balls. So I ate it and whatever. It was whatever. But I think people will be able to relate to this, Rich, because I had Mike Lockhart just break this down to a minute and a half. Because I say nothing, but it's hot a million times.
Okay.
But I want you to hear my children in the background, okay? So my wife's watching, but she's out of the picture, and she doesn't really say anything. And it's my son who's 12 and my daughter who's 10. And my son's holding the phone, which is like an exercise in, oh, my God, Milo, just put the phone on me. And there's comments going on in the background. Tell me if this doesn't sound like your house, people who have children of any ages.
Here I go.
3, 2, 1. he just doesn't care.
Is it your teeth that literally have charcoal on it, basically? Does it taste spicy?
Uh-huh.
I think it's
good. Milo, steady your hand. I will do that.
I will. Do you want me to film?
No.
Dad, can I film? He ate a spicy pepper, and he's not acting like anything happened.
Your face is so red.
It's hot.
Do you want milk? You're growing. You have been growing.
It's hot.
So it's nothing?
I mean, it's hot. It's really hot.
Dad, someone said instant regret.
Milo, your dad is a legend. I know.
I know. You know. Your face is getting red. Wash your hands. Someone's actually said to wash your hands.
You should touch your eyes.
No, no. Lemo.
That means hot.
There's Lemmy.
911.
Someone said I have been influenced.
911, it's your emergency. Fred, wash your hands ASAP.
I got a,
wet towel.
Yeah, Mom, he's crying on your eye right there.
If you look closely.
If you look closely at his eye. There's 400 people watching you.
Yeah, there's actually 400. No, oh, someone just.
Someone said Milo play Fortnite.
No, you don't play Fortnite. Can I film a piece?
No, shut up.
It's really hot.
You don't really. You're just crying.
They don't stop. he cut down that from 7 minutes of audio, 7.5 minutes of audio. They're talking the entire time.
You handled it like a champ. I mean, I've heard people like gasping for air who have done that before. I don't. I mean, it's the same chip as everyone else is using, right? It's the same like
hockey. Yeah.
I mean, well, I mean, dude, you killed it. Now, I don't know if you've seen that Dunkin' Donuts now has, or Dunkin' rather has a ghost pepper donut that they're selling.
Yeah, but they can't give that to the general public. Come on.
I mean, not I don't know how hot it is. Like I haven't tried it, but I mean, it's out there.
But it's funny because like people go like, have you seen a certain movie or have you seen that is the house now? And Dan just said in my ear, 15 hours a day. That is the house. There's always someone home because of COVID now. There's always someone home because my wife can't work anymore because where she worked is there. You know, they cut the staff, you know, in half. So she's not working. So there, I couldn't sit down and watch. I can't. I've tried to watch Family Guy, even though it's not that great anymore. I've tried to watch Family Guy There are four episodes into the season, and I've seen 5 minutes of it. Not because I won't let my kids watch it, because I will, and they say they enjoy it, but because there's just, it's constant talk.
Oh, yeah.
And the minute I say, hey, like, stop talking, then it's, why can't you stop talking? And then it just, and it just carries on from there. No one goes to their rooms. No one does anything. And as much as I used to make fun of having a quote-unquote man cave, I would like somewhere to go, but they would just, A, they'd just go there, and B, where the hell am I going to put it?
I mean,
who has an extra room?
Yeah, the bathroom becomes your little happy spot. I mean, I'm not, oh, I know this sounds oh, very oh. like...
No. Hey, I'll thank you for saying that, because my wife and daughter were gone, but I was home with my son when the chip kind of kicked in.
Yeah.
And I was in the bathroom for like 15 minutes, and the whole time my son's just cackling, laughing, and screaming in the background. Because he's listening to everything that's going on in the bathroom.
he's hearing every sound.
Yes. And I was supposed to meet my wife at someone's house, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I'm in my own personal Vietnam in here. And meanwhile, like, and so, like, I like, it's all coming. I didn't feel sick, but it's all coming out, and it's all loud and everything.
Yeah.
And my son is just, you know what that's like when there's no privacy? And it's just like he's listening to everything and commenting and yelling.
Oh, yeah.
So even the bathroom is no haven. There's nothing. There's not a haven. I have to yell. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to go meditate. I'm going to go meditate. I'm going to go meditate. Just like, I'm going to go upstairs. I'm going to go to the third floor. You're on the first floor. I'm going to go up on the third floor and meditate. And the minute that starts, I could hear them from down the street if I wanted to. I could hear them from outside, down the street. It just never stops. Never stops.
Yeah. The happiest time of the day is when we crank up the old Nintendo Switch and they do their own thing.
Oh, they do their own thing? Because when the video game's on in my house, after every single pitch in MLB 2020, I'm being talked to. Do you see that? He laid off that one, you know? I'm going to throw him a high one. You think I should throw him a high one? And I'm reading. Hey, wait, do you think that's high? Oh, yeah. Oh, I killed that, huh? Okay, dude. Yep. Doing something else. Make a man cave. Where? 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 Who has a room? Who has a room in their house? If you have two kids, who has a room in their house? I see Hurley on his Instagram got some room with drums in it and stuff. This guy makes $5 a year. He's got a room with drums in it. You know?
So we said I have four kids. It's like having hardwired fire alarms going off at different times. Right when you shut one off, the one downstairs goes off. No fire escape.
Yeah, my daughter closes her mouth occasionally. But, I mean, I had to, and this is me, I had to come into my house and announce that everyone was being too negative one day. Me. I had to say everyone's being too negative. Because it got to a point where I was walking into the house and either my wife, my daughter, or my son was complaining about something immediately. Just complaining about something immediately. Couldn't walk through the door, they're complaining. And by the way, none of this is important crap. It's just nonsense.
John from Vegas says, sounds like the meditation is going swimmingly, practically enlightened already.
Well, I didn't say I was seeking enlightenment. I'm seeking a moment's peace. All right. When we come back, we'll go around the NFL. A whole bunch of 1 o'clock games yesterday. We'll get into those. And some things fell the right way. If you're a fan of Trevor Lawrence, we'll definitely opt in for his senior year at Clemson.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.